basic need that then one finds other needs or wants, which become needs. You know, but one does what has to be done and gets back into the masjid. But the other part was whether the verse in the Quran referring to the believers in seclusion in the masjids, whether this verse, which seems to be a general verse, is the basis under which or by which the scholars hold that the i'tikaf may take place in any masjid. The brother is asking me if that was the case. I cannot say whether this is the basis of the argument or whether there are actually other hadiths which may be of a general meaning also. And he asked if it was possible next week I would bring the hadiths which specifically refer to Mecca and Medina. Brother Osman, do you have something on that? Oh, okay.
Is it haram or one of love to trim?
Okay, question concerning the trimming of the beard. The vast majority of scholars hold that it is allowable for a Muslim to trim his beard. I mean, holding that it is required of a Muslim to grow a beard. Some hold that it is strongly required in the sense of it being a strongly recommended sunnah, and others hold that in fact it is compulsory, and that to shave one's beard is sinful. Having fulfilled the requirement of growing the beard, of course those who say that it is sunnah and not that it is compulsory, then trimming becomes, you know, doesn't really make any difference, because according to them, you could also shave it. I mean, it's better to grow it, but you could shave it. But those who hold that it is compulsory, that the hadiths which command the growing of the beard are general commands, which don't allow for any modification to shift that command from being a compulsory command to one which is a recommendation. Such who hold that position are themselves divided into two groups. Those who hold that the trimming is not allowed because the command is to grow your beard, and those who hold that trimming is possible. And those who allow the trimming also hold that the trimming would have to be in accordance with the way in which Ibn Umar, who was one of the narrators of the hadith on growing the beard, you know, being like a command of the Prophet ﷺ, that he trimmed his beard during Hajj, you know, when he was preparing for Ihram. He would grasp the beard, and whatever was at the end of his fist, you know, he would trim. So those who allow the trimming amongst those who hold that it's compulsory to grow your beard, hold that one may trim what is after the grasp. Other scholars hold that one may trim. The practice of Ibn Umar was indicating that trimming is allowed. Whether you do so after the grasp or before the grasp, as long as what you've grown on your face is considered to be a beard, you are fulfilling the commandment of growing your beard. If what you have on your face now can be classified as stubble, you know, what they call 12 o'clock shadow, and they have different names for it, which is when a person doesn't shave for a little while, that, you know, the hair starts to appear, that the hair has just started growing on their face, that is not considered to be a beard. And so one would not be fulfilling the growing of the beard in that case. But as long as one has grown the hairs on the face to the point where we classify this as a beard, then to trim after that, or to allow it to go to a certain length and then trim, is optional for the individual. Or, as our brother said, to even it or to neaten it, to make it what he considers to be tidy, because of course this issue of tidiness may be something, you know, relative, but we know the Prophet ﷺ in his own practices, you know, would groom himself, he would grow his beard, trim his hair, and so on, so, and that he was particular about Muslims maintaining a certain level of tidiness. So if one sees in trimming the edges, you know, tidying his beard, you know, this is his option. Another person might say, well, this is not really tidiness, you know. Tidiness is a different...
The stronger opinion.
Well, I think what you have to do is look at the evidence yourself. If you ask me what is my opinion, what do I consider to be the stronger opinion, that's different than what may actually in fact be the stronger opinion. In my opinion, what I consider to be the stronger opinion based on what I've seen is that one is allowed to trim the beard as long as what one grows on the face is considered a beard that one may trim. Tidy. But gouging portions out of the beard, that is, growing the beard and, you know, shaving out portions of the beard, this is actually breaking the principle of growing the beard. You know, the beard should grow its natural growth. You may tidy in the sense of tidying the edges, etc. But what is considered beard on your face should be grown. Of course, if the beard reaches a point where it's, you know, growing up your cheek and it's having difficulty to see for you to remove it to be able to see, well, then I would say that, you know, you're doing it out of a necessity here. But just for, you know, chopping pieces to make, you know, like goatees and, you know, these type of other forms, one is then cutting off portions of one's beard, and you cannot really say one is growing one's beard, but growing a portion of his beard. Blood coming out of the body, does it break the fast? If you get a cut and you bleed, it doesn't break the fast. You know? If you defecate and some blood comes, it doesn't break the fast. If you urinate, some blood comes, it doesn't break the fast. As a male. However, for a female, if blood comes from her private, that is the beginning of her menses, the minute that it begins, her fast is broken. So if she has 10 minutes left to the adhan and blood comes, her fast has broken. She has to repeat that day.
So we cannot donate blood while we are fasting?
No. You can donate blood whilst you're fasting. Because the giving of that blood does not break, or the taking of blood out of your system doesn't break your fast. It's the taking in. It's whatever comes in. But if they're taking blood out in one hand and they're giving you, you know, glucose in the other hand, well, then your fast is broken because you're being fed in one hand as you're giving out on the other hand.
Okay.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
Concerning those people who are fasting without raising up for a year, if they still intend that they have the intention to fast, are they rewarded for
Question, if a person is not praying regularly and they make a sincere intention to fast, would their fast be valid or rewarded by Allah? It is possible. If a person, you know, is not praying regularly, meaning that they have not denied Salah, they have not given up Salah, but out of laziness, you know, they miss one prayer here, miss one prayer there. They, you know, they know they're wrong. But when Ramadan comes, they make the intention to fast and they hold the fast and they try to do it the best they could. Yes, they are rewarded for what they're doing. Question concerning one who doesn't pray at all but fast in the month of Ramadan, would they be rewarded for that fast? I would say that if that person doesn't pray at all, believing that the prayer is not compulsory for him, then there is no reward for that fast, because once he gives up prayer believing that it is not on him to pray, he has become a disbeliever. So the fast is of no value to him in terms of reward from Allah. But if he is not praying during the year out of laziness, right, that means that he still has a mustard seed's worth of iman in his heart. then his fast in Ramadan could be of benefit to him if the fast is a true fast. See, this is what we're talking now on a theoretical level, right? In theory, we say, yes, he could take the benefit. But in practice, a person who does not pray all year long, is out of contact with Allah all year long, is it possible for him to establish a correct fast according to the spirit of the fast, which is necessary before you can get any reward? Because we already said the ritual is not giving us reward. Ritual can make us thirsty and hungry, but it won't get us the reward that Allah has promised for the fast. Can that person now establish a fast in accordance with the spirit of the fast? I would say it is very unlikely. You know, I can't say it can never be, but I would say it is very unlikely. So a person who would do such a thing as to give up prayer all year long, that person, to me, would be so far off the path, there is no way that he would be able to establish a correct fast. So though we may accept something in theory, we talk